It's great to be in worship with you this morning. So many wonderful things happening this morning, so many good things going on. Let us stop and have a word of prayer. Gracious God, we're so thankful to be in your church, in your home this morning, and that we are your church, that we can be your hands and your feet and your arms to hug and your just presence this morning. Bless us as we worship. May we feel your presence. May we be lifted up by the season of Lent and reminders that you are with us, that you love us, that you guide us. Be with us as we spend this time in worship together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can you hear me now? There we go. Okay, good. We are blessed to have our speaker this morning from Food for Kids Backpacks. If we could have Jennifer come on up.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Jennifer Moore. I was born and raised here in Gainesville, Florida, and I witnessed childhood hunger about 26 months ago. Personally saw it. Heartening. I had a child who had a birthday on a Monday at school. We took some pizzas and cupcakes and drinks to her class to celebrate with her friends and left that day with a visual image of hungry children. Went home, did a lot of research. That year, we piloted the backpack program at Twilliger and successfully fed 30 children every weekend through that one school. Since then, we have expanded into 13 schools now. We just added another one last week who has hungry children and is asking to be served. We are 100% volunteer-run and community-supported. That is very important to us to incorporate the community to actually be able to sustain and expand the program. Trinity is no stranger to hunger programs or initiatives or the backpack program itself. We've partnered with you all successfully to be able to grow this initiative to meet the community's needs. And for $6 a weekend, we can fill a backpack with about 7 meals for each school-aged child in the home. For $2.50, they're sponsored for the entire school year. We definitely would like to talk to you more. We'll be out front if you have any questions, but appreciate this opportunity to share our story with you. And we look forward to future support and meeting the needs here in our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Would you all please stand and sing with me hymn number 451, Be Thou My Vision, all three verses.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best hope, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word.
Forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Good morning. This time, as we come to our joys and concerns, we'd like to lift up Blanche Dearman, who is the mother of Linda Cook, who needs her prayers this morning. She's been in the hospital. David Bowler, also our friends Hank Brotherton, Roger Bryan, and Marcy Mizell, who also need our prayers this morning. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear God, here we are in the midst of Lent, in that time when we're supposed to slow down and to remember your sacrifice for us, your love for us. And yet it's hard to slow down. Sometimes it feels as though there are more things to do as we reach Easter, only 2 weeks away. But if we stop for a moment, if we take a deep breath, if we remember who you are and who you called us to be this morning, remind us of the good ways in which you're present in our life, the ways which we forget when we're going too fast and when we're not paying attention. Remind us that you've called us to love you and to love our neighbors, to forgive others, to have patience, to remember that we are all here trying to do your will. Remind us this morning to reach out to those who are hurting this morning, those who are in need, those who are hungry, those who are in pain, those who are just in need of a reminder that you love them, that you care for them, that you call us to care for them. As we reach the next 2 weeks and Easter is coming, remind us of this journey that we are all on to be your body of Christ, to be brothers and sisters to one another, to lift each other up, to help each other, to encourage one another. May we never forget that. May we always take the time to remember that. May this season of Lent be all about walking in your footsteps. Remind us this morning as we say the Lord's Prayer together that each word is so important. Each word you spoke to us and taught us to pray. May we resonate on each word this morning as we say those words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. way back in the early days of Trinity, there was a young guy named Paul who, along with Ray Krohn, wreaked havoc around the church. But they took them in, and over time, Paul has wandered around hither and yon and met and married Jackie. Paul and Jackie Davis are going to join the church today. And Angel, are you going to join as well? And Angel, their daughter, too. Could you all come up? Jackie's recently had a brain bleed, I believe. And any rate, but you're doing well. And this is something you've all been wanting to do since you've moved back to town. Paul and Pat Pluck probably could tell more stories than you'd want them to share today. But did I say Richard and Pat? Did I say that? And Paul was in Sunlight long in the earliest days of Sunlight. So we welcome you. We're delighted you're here. Do you affirm and reaffirm your faith in Jesus, do you? Do you promise as God gives you strength to lead lives that are pleasing to God, will you? And will you support this church as we support you together in the name of Christ, will you? Let me pray with you. God, we give you thanks for Paul, Jackie, Angel. Thank you for your constant presence with them through some challenging times. We know you're with them always. And now we join hands and hearts and arms and in the work that you've called us to be about here in the kingdom of God. We ask your blessings upon them today. Thank you for the memories that they have of the early days of this church and now for this time of renewal. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I don't know that we're prepared to have the response on the screen, but would you welcome them back into the life of the church? God bless you. Thanks. Jackie, God bless you. Paul, good. While you're coming to your seats, Andy, would you stand up? Is it Andy? Did I get that right? Andy. Today, Andy turns 96 years old. Andy, congratulations. Yeah. We're not gonna sing happy birthday, but we'll just say happy birthday to you. God bless you. Yeah.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you, Andy. Lots of you are involved in the ministry of the Trinity and helping out in the community and other places. Today is Servant Sunday to celebrate that and to say thanks to all you do. And maybe if you're looking for a niche, a place to get connected, there are going to be sign-up places back there and over there. And we've put together this really neat, fast-paced video. So watch it real closely. See if you can find yourself in there. And then Monique's going to share a word about that. So let's watch this video now.
Wasn't that awesome? That is such an example of all of the things that this church does. And it's not just this church, it's all of you. We do so many things in this world, in this community, in this church building that take so many of you to do. And it was great to be able to work on putting this together. Thanks to Kelly Ping and to Sally Scott and Carmen Nelson and all the different folks who helped to take pictures. If you were the ones that we chased around with our little cameras, we appreciate that. But this is just an example of all the ministry that we do as a church that requires each one of us to get involved with. And we have, because of that, we have some sign-up tables in the back, and we're going to be coming towards you, to you several times throughout the year for Servant Sundays to remind you of all the different opportunities we have to volunteer at this church. So you'll see there's a big banner in the back over here where you can sign up for different things, as well as back here by the education entrance. So you can't leave this place without signing up for something. We've got you at every entrance. But the good news is that there's so many good things to sign up for. One of them, this big event that we have coming up soon, you might have heard of just a few of the eggs and the small event that we have coming up, the egg hunt in 2 weeks. On April 7th, we're going to have over 1,000 people coming to us. What a great opportunity we have as a church to welcome people. We don't even have to leave our church campus, but over 1,000 people are going to come to us. And so I brought just a few of the eggs this morning to remind you, to thank you for filling them, but then to remind you that we have this great chance to welcome people to our church campus, to say, hey, we'd love for you to come back to church tomorrow. There's this great service that we have here at the Times, and we need each one of you. We need at least 50 of you to come out for the egg hunt and to be there just welcoming folks. We have these great green T-shirts that say Trinity Volunteer and then Worship Times on the back. And what I would love to see is a sea of green T-shirts out there at the egg hunt, just people welcoming folks to our campus. And, you know, Richard Kilmer, I'm going to use you as an example. Is he here? Where is he? He's way in the back. Well, when I asked him this morning if he could help us with the egg hunt, he said, I'm too old for that. I did that already. But we need every single person there, because people with little kids are going to be there with their kids for the egg hunt. So we need every person of every generation there in green T-shirts, which we have available for $5. They don't say anything having to do with the egg hunt, so you can buy them and wear them for anything, even wear them to Publix. And you can be there with your with these tickets and hand them out and just say, we're so glad you're here. We welcome you. Here's a ticket for a free donut. Come on back to church tomorrow, and we'd love to have you be a part of our church family. So I think I've said enough about how important it is for you to sign up and be a part of the egg hunt. There's all kinds of opportunities, as well as other things to sign up for at the back tables. Please do sign up. If not, I'm going to be calling your houses, so you can't get away from me. You've got to come and be a part of this great event. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Now would you stand and turn to somebody you maybe didn't come to church with and say, I am Trinity. Greet the people around you, would you?
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Please be seated and let us pray. Gracious God, you call us to give of our hands, of our time, of our offerings. Bless this offering that we give to you this morning. May it go forward in your world to spread your love and your peace. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen.
Okay. Hi, I'm Timothy Keatley, and the song we'll be performing today is The River of Dreams by Billy Joel. I believe the song is about life and the trials that it holds for us. These trials are what are meant to test our character and our faith. The river is what is keeping us from our ultimate goal. What we must do is overcome the obstacle mentioned in Measure 42 through 45. Baptized by the fire, I wade into the river that runs into the promised land. And our ultimate goal is to find Jesus. And now, Sunlight is singing River of Dreams by Billy Joel, and our soloist today is Haley Berger.
From the mountains of faith to a river so deep, I must be looking for something.
Some
are sacred and long, but the river is wide, and it's too hard to cross. And even though I know the river is wide, I walk down it every evening and stand on the shore and try to cross it to the opposite side so I can finally find what I've been looking for. In the middle of the night, I go walking in the sleep, through the valley of fear, to a river so deep. And I've been searching for something, taken out of my soul, something I would never lose, something somebody stole. I don't know why I've been walking at night, but now I'm tired and I don't want to walk anymore. I hope it doesn't take the rest of my life until I find what it is that I've been looking for. In the middle of the night, I've been walking in my sleep, through the jungle of doubt,
so deep.
I know I'm searching for something,
something
so undefined, but it can only be seen by the eyes of the blind. In the middle of the night, God knows I've never been a spiritual man. Baptized by the fire, I wade into the river that runs to the promised land. In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep, through the desert of truth, through a river so deep. We all end in the ocean, we all start in the stream, we're all carried along.
My word. Wonderful. Haley, thank you. Sunlight, thank you. Awesome. You know, I never understood that song, but I really appreciated the introduction. That's big helpful to me. We're looking at the seven last words of Jesus, which are really powerful. Today, maybe the most powerful, where Jesus cries from the cross, "Why, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Listen to the scripture or read along with me. Let me read it to you. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves, saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" This is maybe one of the most powerful things, most dramatic things we've ever heard from Jesus. This notion of not just God, my God, my God, why? Why have you forsaken me? And you can feel the deep pain and sense of abandonment from Jesus. It's also really powerful for all of us because all of us, at one time or another, will say pretty much the same thing. Life has its hard places. Here's what I wrote this week in the Tuesday Word. More than any other thing, this deep and anguished, painful cry, why, is what keeps people from God in the first place, or causes them to turn from God later, often never to return. Why? Why, God? Why did you let this happen? Why did you let my loved one die? Why? Why? My God, why have you forsaken me? And a thousand things cause us to ask this question to one degree or another when someone we love dies, an illness, we lose our job, we're criticized, we're tired, depressed, we're stressed, our emotions are raw, we get a bad grade in school, a door is closed in our face, we have a broken relationship, an injustice. We look at the news and we see what happens in Sudan and the Congo and places around the world where you think, what is going wrong in the world? Why would a good God let these things happen? My colleague and friend in graduate school, Bart Ehrman, now teaches at the University of North Carolina in the religion department, he faced this question of why a good God would let bad things happen and ended up rejecting God, became an atheist, written a book about it. I think all of us confront this at one level or another. Maybe you're here today asking why. I got a response from one particular person, and I asked this person if I could share their response. It was stated so powerfully, so poignantly. "Dan, I'm one of those that definitely feels like God has forsaken me. I definitely have not felt God's presence in at least 8 months. And that's pretty much why I've been staying away from church. I've been praying, maybe not as much as I should, but I'm so weary of praying with no sign of an answer. It's not that something terrible has happened in my life recently. I believe it's because it seems no matter what I do, life does not get easier for me. And yet I watch my ex-spouse, who has absolutely no faith in anything or anyone, but is doing better than he was when we were together. I just don't know how to get back to where I was a year ago without getting some kind of firm answer from God." We've either all felt that way or we know somebody who feels that way. I have two responses that I want to share with you today. The first is a brief one, maybe 4 or 5 minutes, more philosophical but pastoral. It's related to the book of Job. And then through Jesus' words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I talk about this a little bit more in my little book on the Old Testament, Neglected Treasure. But you remember Rabbi Kushner, a number of years ago, wrote a book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And he had talked about his own little boy who had an illness called progeria, rapid aging disease, and he would never get much taller than this. He would get much older, no hair on his body, die like an old man at a very young age. And he wrote empathically about this and received enormous feedback, and he put it in a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. But the best treatment of this is in the book of Job, and without going through all that, we know that Job lost everything, even though he did everything right. Not only lost his children, his livelihood, his oxen, his cattle, his body was afflicted with boils. And he asked the question, why, in chapter 28, God, why? We human beings have tried to figure out everything with the latest technology, but we can't come to an understanding of why. And that's the truth. You and I will never know this side of heaven why. We ought to just acknowledge that. We just don't know why some of these things happen. But the book of Job doesn't end on chapter 28. It moves to 32, where God comes to Job out of the whirlwind, and as if to say, Job, at your heart of heart, it's not the complaint. What the real issue is, you've lost everything and you're afraid you're going to lose me too. And I'm here to say, no, you're not going to lose me. And God embraces Job. But now let's move to Psalm 22. Jesus was quoting Psalm 22 when he on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the first line of this whole psalm. And it was so well known, this psalm, as many of the psalms were known by heart in that day. It's like if somebody begins singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, we will join in it. The whole psalm is descriptive of Jesus, as you'll see, even though written by David 1,000 years earlier. But you'll see the description. So the first stanza, I've broken this into 8 or 9 stanzas. If you bring that up, the first stanza is this cry of abandonment. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I want to say, Jesus knows how it feels. Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? Why do you not even hear my cries of anguish? Now, I have a question for you. Did Jesus believe that God had abandoned him, or did he just feel God had abandoned him? There's a big difference. Now, there's a school of thought that God was so holy that God actually, when Jesus took all our sins on him, actually did abandon Jesus. That may be true. That's not my own thinking on this. My own thinking is, did Jesus believe it or did he feel it? And I think he felt it. But I don't think he believed it. And my experience is sometimes there's a huge chasm between what we feel and what we know. Particularly those of us who are more feeling-oriented. And sometimes feelings trump knowledge so that it doesn't matter what we know. This is how I feel. But I want to say to you, that's when you hold on to the rock-solid foundation that you've gotten from your childhood or even now. I brought some of Jan's stones, rock collection. She has a wonderful rock collection. Everywhere we travel, she brings back stones, rocks. There have been times in the airport when I think we're going to get charged $1,000 for all these stones. We were at Stonehenge, and I said, no, Jan. Actually, I didn't think of that. Randy Caton came out of the first service and said, gave me that line. That's a pretty good line. But here's the deal. As I've told you before, in the book of Joshua, chapters 3 and 4, right before they cross from Jordan into the promised land, God tells Joshua, have the priests of each tribe step into the river, and when they step into the river Jordan, it will back up and you'll go across on dry land. And have a representative from each tribe pick up a rock. And when you get across the land, put those rocks in a big pile. And they said, why? He said, here's the reason why. So that someday when your kids come along, they'll say, what do those rocks mean? And you'll say, they mean that one time we were slaves in Egypt. And God with his mighty hand brought us out. And there are going to be times when you doubt God's faithfulness, but you'll see that pile of rocks. And you'll know that God was faithful then, and God will continue to be faithful now. Hold on to those rocks. And if you know much about Jewish burials, all over Jerusalem, and I think probably here, they put stones on the graves. It's a reminder of this powerful passage. Now, if you've ever come into Trinity on the East Drive, you'll see that Josh Fuller and the trustees have placed rocks along the drives. Why? So some of you won't park on the grass, or me, or wear it down. But what I've begun doing in light of this sermon is when I drive by those rocks, there's 30 of them, I start remembering what I know, remembering the foundations of our faith. There is the Apostles' Creed. There are people in this church that come to mind who they got through a hard time. That means I can get through a hard time too. I hold on to the Lord's Prayer, the Sermon on the Mount, all of those things, because often there's this chasm between what I feel and what I believe and what I know. And sometimes I have to do this to bring these along. Or as someone said, the right motions create the right emotions. So this cry of abandonment is first. Second stanza is remembering the truth or making the case. I'm going to suggest that it's remembering the truth. Here's what Jesus says, what David said. You are God, the King, the Holy One, all-powerful. And he sees, he's reminding himself, just as you and I need to remind ourselves of what the church, what the people of faith have held on to for 2,000 years, 3,000 years. Our ancestors trusted you, and you didn't fail them. You delivered them. When they cried out to you, you saved them. And then when I was putting this together, I wasn't sure whether he was making the case against God or reaffirming the truth, but I think it's remembering the truth. So that's the second stanza. Let's go to the third one. But then he comes to my terrible situation. And a lot of this you'll see in the crucifixion of Jesus, but it's also David, and you feel this. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults at me, shaking their heads. Trust in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue. Let the Lord deliver him, since he delights in the Lord. You've all probably had this experience where you did something that was sort of you felt publicly embarrassed. And then for the weeks after that, you think everybody's thinking about you and worried, obsessed with you, and you realize, no, they're thinking about their own situation. They're not focused on you. But here's this terrible situation that this person feels. It seems like that sometimes. And then the next one. But you tricked me. Here's what he says. You brought me out of the womb, gave me life. You made me trust in you. All these years I've been building my trust in you. I've been trusting you more and more, God. And now this. You probably felt that. There's a sense of betrayal that's going on. And then the next one. He comes back again to the awful situation. You see, as we all know in our heads, but not in reality, when we're feeling abandoned or lonely or down, it comes at us in waves. It's not linear. And just like this psalm, he comes back to it again and again, and little things trigger it. I thought of this, and I picked up my phone to call my mom, and she's already gone. She's not here. Trouble is near. I'm alone. No one to help me. Many bulls surround me. Roaring lions bare their teeth at me. Then the next one. Then here's how I'm feeling. I feel wasted. All my bones are ripped out of their sockets. My heart is a blob within me. My mouth is dry as dust. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. This is how he's feeling. And then he goes into the deeper part of who he is. And then, again, this wave comes over him. Awful situation. Dogs surround me. A gang of thugs encircles me. This is what happened to Jesus. They pierced my hands and my feet. All my bones are visible. People are staring at me in my distress. They divide my clothes among them. They cast lots for my garment. And then something happens. Something happens that changes this person's outlook. Something happens to you and me that changes our outlook. Let me see if I can find this. Oh, I got it on another page. This person to whom I wrote to me, I feel abandoned. I wrote back to this person. Here's what I said. Thanks for sharing your heart with me. I found in the past, when I've been able to give voice to a deep inner feeling of loss or pain or hurt, in and of itself, it became the first step toward healing. When I've been able to give voice to a deep inner hurt or pain. Now, this is frankly where you men out here are at a disadvantage. Because if you're like me, most of you men wouldn't recognize a feeling. No, that's probably not quite safe. But we've been taught, we've been conditioned from the very, don't cry. Buck up. Get a grip on yourself. Don't whine. And so we push those things down where they do an enormous amount of damage. But if you and I can give voice to a deep inner feeling of our loss or pain to another person, it can begin the process of healing. This person sent me two follow-up emails. Here they are. I do know what you're talking about when you say giving a voice to it. After I sent the email yesterday, I found myself holding back tears throughout the rest of the day. Something was happening. Something was happening. And then the second email. A very odd thing occurred last night. Someone out of the blue, and I swear I don't know this other person, so I didn't have anything to do with this. Somewhere out of the blue, when I hadn't heard someone whom I hadn't heard from since last September texted me saying, I just want you to know I'm praying for you and I hope you're doing well. I was certainly taken by surprise. I'll be in church on Sunday. Something happens in this psalm. We don't see it. It's in most of the psalms. We don't know if the priest is offering a word of forgiveness. Whatever it is, when you and I do what the psalmist does, then we say, but you, Lord, don't be far from me. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, from these dogs. Rescue me from these lions and wild oxen. And then finally, it concludes on this expression of praise. In the congregation, I'll praise you. I'll call on others to praise you. I'll tell others how you've helped me, delivered me. You, O Lord, can be counted on to help those in need. I come back to knowing who you are. Let every tongue, every knee bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Now this prayer of abandonment that Jesus gave, or that you and I feel, my God, why? Is in some sense a contradiction in terms. Because just by the very act of praying, we don't really believe God has abandoned us. Because we're crying out to God. If we really believed He abandoned us, we wouldn't even give voice to it. But you feel it. You and I feel alone. We feel at a loss. We feel forsaken. We ask why. My God, why? And all of us here have done it. The truth is, as I said, this side of heaven, there's no answer to the why. But there is a Savior who lived it. A Savior who lives it with us. A Savior who says, God didn't forsake me. God won't forsake you. And I promise, lo, I'll be with you always. Always to the end of the earth. So take my hand and let's journey through time. Now, I'm not sure the rationale for how the people put the Bible together, what follows after another. But it is intriguing to me that Psalm 23 follows Psalm 22. So here's this expression of abandonment, and then you come to Psalm 23. And I'd like us to meditate on Psalm 23 as our closing. I'd like us to say it together, just one line. And then I want to comment on it and let it sink into your hearts and mine. And I'll say amen and then let's do the next verse, okay? Let's say together, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now I'd like you to just envision Jesus being your shepherd. Holding you. Holding you. Never abandoning you. Even when you don't feel it. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I hope you can feel the green pastures. You can hear the still waters. And the next one. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. My prayer is that everybody here today who's ever felt that might feel the beginning of the restoration. He restoreth my soul. Amen. Let's go to the next. Yea, though I walk through the valley, the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Whatever you're going through, whether it was a long time ago or just now, you fear no evil. Amen. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. He's prepared a table before us, the table of Holy Communion, the very presence of the living Christ, His body, His blood, broken and poured out for you and for many. His anointing is upon you. And we conclude with this together. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, there are those times in everybody's life when what we feel and what we know are miles apart. But today, in this congregation, we affirm the rock-solid foundations of our faith, and we give ourselves patience to allow You to restore our souls. Where there's a feeling of abandonment, God, come and be very present. Give that person what they need to know that You are with them and will be with them always. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. There's a great hymn that I think we should close with. Great is Thy faithfulness. Would you stand? Feel free to come receive Holy Communion, if you would, while we sing.
sing Wondrous Cross.
Of our Lord Jesus and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet